This is my mother's house. I'm visiting her. I've been...
Raul Tavalera, the officer said. Yes, you're a registered visitor.
She looked up at him.
You should be indoors at this time, Mr. Tavalera. There's an emergency alert in effect.
An emergency? What?
She almost smiled at him. They didn't give us any details. The orders are to keep everybody indoors from 6 p.m. until dawn tomorrow.
But why?
Just go into your house like a good citizen, Mr. Tavalera. Don't make trouble for either one of us.
Tavalera stood there for an uncertain moment. The officer's hand slid to the butt of her gun. He heard that they used non-lethal tranquilizer darts instead of bullets, but Tavalera decided he didn't want to test the officer's patience any farther.
Okay, he said, feeling defeated. I'm going in.
Thank you, Mr. Tavalera. Thanks for being a cooperative citizen. Have a pleasant evening.
As he started up the walk to the house's front door, Tavalera glanced back over his shoulder. The policewoman hadn't moved. She was entering something into her palm comp, he realized. Then he looked up and saw that the darkening sky was gleaming with the northern lights again. Long shimmering ribbons of ethereal color dancing silently across the bowl of the heavens. 2 nights in a row. The police officer took no notice of the lights. She watched Tavalera until he opened his front door and stepped into the house. Starship. It wasn't a spacecraft in the sense that any engineer of Earth would recognize. Part organic, part pure energy, the starship had entered the solar system more than 20 years earlier, carrying Keith Stoner, his wife Jo, and their 2 grown children. Humans, born of Earth, but more than human now.
They've got to reply, Stoner told his wife. They've got to answer me.
Jo gazed at the blue sphere of Earth, flecked with clouds of purest white, and pictured in her mind an anthill teeming with scurrying, mindless fools. If any of them realize we've returned, she thought, they're doing their best to ignore our presence among them. Jo understood the frustration that her husband felt. His son and daughter, though, wondered why their father was bothering with these primitives. Chapter 4 Tavalera opened the front door of his house and stepped inside. He closed the door and peered through its window until the police officer returned to her car and drove away. Then he went back toward the kitchen, where he knew his mother would be. She was a sweet-faced woman, round and snowy white. She seemed almost totally unchanged in the years he'd been away except for dyeing her hair. That bothered Tavalera, but he didn't know why. Now that he looked at her more closely, he saw lines in her face that he didn't remember from earlier. And her eyes looked guarded. He didn't see the warmth he remembered from childhood. She was sitting at the kitchen table watching the news on the wall screen over the microwave oven. Something about a celebration in some big church. Up in the corner above the screen was that damned red eye of the security camera, watching him. A row of medication bottles was lined up in perfect order to one side of the microwave, each blue and red-lettered label facing outward. That was different, Tavalera realized. Ma didn't take any pills when I left for my public service. Aspirin, maybe, now and then. At the end of the row of pill bottles was a tiny gray electronics box with what looked like a pair of headphones connected to it by a hair-thin fiber-optic wire. Tavalera went to the headphones and picked them up.
What's this, Ma? You into music now?
Put them down, she said sharply, jumping up from her chair. She looked almost frightened. Holding them in his hand, he asked, What are these, anyway?
They're not for you. Put them down. You might damage them.
Damage them? What are you talking about?
Impatiently, his mother snatched the headphones from his hand and placed them back on the shelf alongside the row of pill bottles.
They're for treating my depression, she said, almost sullenly.
Depression?
It's just a mild case. I use the headphones to make me feel better.
Tavalera stared at her.
A doctor prescribed this?
Of course. Lots of people use them. Brain stimulators, they're called.
You've been diagnosed with depression?
She cast an annoyed look at him, then changed the subject as she sat down again.
How did your job interview go?
Not good, he said, pulling up the chair next to hers. They want me to work down in Louisiana.
Louisiana? She frowned, puzzled. But it's all underwater.
He decided not to tell her everything. It would only worry her.
Depression, he kept thinking.
Ma's taking electrical stimulation for depression.
Isn't Louisiana underwater? She repeated.
He nodded. I'm going to appeal the assignment, first thing tomorrow. She looked uneasy.
Don't make trouble, son. It's best to do what they tell you, like a good boy.
I've got a right to appeal a work assignment, Ma. That's not making trouble for anybody.
They'll mark it against you. Don't think they won't.
It's best just to accept what they give you. After all, they wouldn't give you the assignment if they didn't need you there. Tabalera didn't want to get into an argument with his mother. Instead, he asked, "You seen anything on the news about the aurora?"
"The what?"
"The northern lights. They're shining in the sky again tonight, right now." He pointed toward the curtained kitchen window.
"There's nothing in the news about it. Are you sure?"
He got up and went to the kitchen door. "Come on, I'll show you."
"Don't go outside. There's some sort of emergency, and they don't want us to go outside."
"They? Who's they?"
"The police. The announcement came over the TV about an hour ago. Nobody's to go outside until dawn tomorrow."
She didn't seem afraid, just compliant. "Why not? What's the emergency?"
"Probably some terrorist threat," his mother said. "They're always making threats, but we always catch them."
"Ma, there hasn't been a terrorist attack since the day of the bridges, back before I was born." She gave him a superior expression.
"You see? The Homeland Security people know what they're doing. And if they want us to stay indoors, that's what we've got to do."
Tabalera forced down a feeling of impatient frustration. "Well, okay. Just take a look through the window, then. I think you can see..."
"Raul, get away from the window!"
She said it in the tone of voice he remembered from childhood.
"We can look out our own goddamned windows, for God's sake! Don't use that kind of language in this house. I didn't bring you up to be a foul-mouthed blasphemer."
He stared at her in disbelief.
"Blasphemer?" he asked silently.
"What's gotten into you, Ma? Since when did you become a religious nut?" She softened.
"If they want us to stay indoors, it's for our own good. They know what they're doing. Just do what you're told and don't make trouble for yourself."
He sat down beside her again.
"Ma, they're the ones making trouble. They want me to work in New Orleans for crying out loud." "New Orleans?"
"Underwater. I'll be working underwater."
"You'll be safe, won't you?"
"Sure, I guess so."
"I mean, you worked in space, and that was safe enough, wasn't it?"
"Sure, Ma, sure. Except for the time I damn near got killed," he added silently. They sat side by side for several moments, neither speaking, but both of their minds churning.
"You want to go back there, don't you?"
His mother's voice turned dark. Not quite angry, not quite hurt, but a combination of both plus more. He didn't answer for some while. At last he admitted, "Yeah, I do."
"Why'd you come home?"
Now her tone was cold with accusation. Tabalera was shocked at her question. He blurted,
"For you, Ma. I wanted to come back home. After 6 years, I wanted to see my old friends, see you and Andy and everybody. But now you want to go back there and live in outer space."
He didn't answer. He couldn't. He couldn't tell his mother that coming back home had been a mistake. This wasn't his home anymore. Not now. His true home was 1 billion kilometers away, circling the ringed planet Saturn.
"You want to leave me?"
his mother said, her voice low, bitter.
"I could send for you once I got back to the habitat. You'd like it there, Ma. It's big. Lots of room. Lots of freedom." "And leave all my friends? All the people I've lived with all my life?"
"Most of them are dead, Ma."
"Like your father."
"Oh, Christ," he thought. "She's going to throw that at me again."
"You were off in space when your father died. You should have been here. This is where I needed you."
"Ma, I couldn't leave. They wouldn't let me. They didn't even tell me that Papa died until weeks afterward."
"I had to deal with it all alone," his mother continued, tears filling her eyes. "You should have been here. No wonder I came down with depression. No wonder I